Brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we were made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will give glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless.
We're in this series, Common Purpose, and I missed the first one. This was the allotted reading, and please forgive me if you did this last week, but I thought it was important to understand what Paul was saying, and this is one of the earliest letters in the New Testament, to understand the history, which we rather get from Acts 17. So if this happened last week, I'm sorry, but it's good to reinforce it. In Acts 17 we read this: they came to Thessalonica, which is Paul, Silas, Timothy, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men have caused trouble all over the world. Now they've come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house." Poor old Jason. Can you imagine what it must be like for him? He's a good guy. He goes to synagogue, and three separate synagogues. There's this strange guy from Jerusalem or from Israel coming across and talking about Jesus. And what convicted him that Jesus was the Messiah? What formed that church? Well, obviously it was the preaching of Paul, who'd had that experience of Jesus. It was proof from the Old Testament. I'm sure they looked at their scriptures. They looked at Isaiah 53 and they said, "Jesus is the Messiah. He's the King." And they were convinced. And it wasn't just one. There were several people, Greeks, Jews, all came to believing what Paul was preaching. And that formed their relationship as that first church in Thessalonica. Responding to the love of God in Jesus. Can you imagine hearing, "My sins forgiven in Jesus"? And just not so many years ago when they were hearing that preaching. How wonderful that must have been. So they formed the church. But wherever God is working, we find that opposition. And I think about Ely on a Thursday, you wouldn't need to go far to find some men in the marketplace of bad character. And the jealous Jews, who wanted everything to stay the same, stay their way of doing things, stay the way they'd done it, and the way they thought, they weren't going to have any change in their synagogue. So they wanted to get Paul out, they wanted to get Silas out, they wanted to get Jason out, and they were planning to lynch him. And this is why Paul went away, and this is why he's writing back saying, "I really wanted to see how you were getting on." because he thought, if I stay here, I'm just going to cause trouble for this church. I need to get out. So he got out, but he didn't stop loving them. He didn't stop caring about that church. And that's what formed the letter. Satan does oppose the church. And in those days, it was by force and by retribution and by physical violence. These days, Satan opposes the church, I think, through absolute apathy. That's our biggest problem in our church in this today. We're soldiers called to be in a battle for Jesus. And I don't know if you've seen the film Saving Private Ryan or any of those films where D-Day's coming. You've got a bunch of soldiers in a boat. They're feeling seasick and they're getting shot at. And they're all steeling themselves for what's about to come, for the fire. Can you imagine if you saw pictures of them and they were sitting around, you know, checking their nails and looking in the mirrors, making sure their eyebrows were straight, or doing stuff like that, playing cards? You think, that's incredible. But they don't have a chance. This is a fight, and they're not ready. And so often, you look at the church in the West, and that's what it's like. We're not steeling ourselves for a fight. We're not ready. We're checking our nails off, worrying about the things that are least important have become most important to us. And we just need to realise we are opposed. It's not plain sailing. If you stand up for Jesus, it's going to be tough. We need to grab hold of this common purpose. It's such a good title for this series. Just looking at some things that Carl asked me to say. Paul's love for that church. He described himself as an orphan, marking himself as a child. And Carl's asking the question, did their relationship become so close in that short time? Can you imagine? It was a matter of 3 weeks to a month they were there and the church was going on. But they so close. Paul puts himself as their juniors almost by saying he was orphaned from them. And I reckon this Jason guy, I reckon he did a lot of caring for Paul. He took them into their house. I reckon he was really kind to Paul and Silas and provided for them. And just going back to the children's talk and what we thought about earlier. For us to be ready for this fight, it's so important we find and know our gifting and share that in the church. And I'm not particularly thinking about big gifts. Small gifts are just as important. But even to use small gifts, we need to know and be encouraged to do it. So even a hand on a shoulder and a conversation can be a gift to someone here. And we need to open ourselves up to God, I think, and say, show me how my gifting can be used in this church this morning. We need to take that attitude of listening much more seriously so that we are ready as a group of people to meet Jesus, because that's the other big thing of Thessalonians were getting ready for. He's coming again. He's coming back. In fact, they got over ready for it. They had the thought, I say, hey, slow down a bit. It's not probably not tomorrow. Don't stop working. Don't stop doing your normal stuff. Might be a while. But they were ready, and it's great to see they had that purpose. But just to close, I want us to think about this verse, 1 John 4, verse 10 and 11, because I think here is where we find the sort of the core of our common purpose. This is love, Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's not that we can work ourselves up to some kind of spiritual plane and be the kind of people that we want to be. As we understand how much God loves us where we are, we respond to that by loving the people that he loves too. Just trying to put, as I was preparing this sermon, just trying to put it into practice and trying to take risks in response to God's love. This week, I was in an office, in somebody else's office actually, doing something on a computer that needs to be done. There's a lady in there who we often have flippant conversations, and she's the sort of person you can have flippant conversations with, and they're very funny too. Just out of the blue, I felt God say, just ask her about Jesus. So I just came out with it. What do you feel about Jesus? How do you feel about Jesus? And she said to me, you know, I don't ever think about Jesus. And I thought, well, there's honesty. And I thought, hey, maybe that describes me too. Because it is rare that I would take the chance to say something like that. We had a lovely conversation and really opened my eyes as to perhaps what many people think in Great Britain today. She said, our church, it's only old people go there. It's not a very friendly village. So we keep ourselves to ourselves. And the only time I've ever wanted to go to church is at Christmas because I love the Christmas story. But hey, there's an opportunity there, isn't there? And we did talk about God coming into the world, God coming in with a purpose, God coming in to save people because he loves them. It was a wonderful opportunity. And when we were going through the quiz, there were questions that you thought, oh, I don't really know the answer to, but hey, I'm going to give it a go. I think having a common purpose, knowing the love of God, knowing the forgiveness of God, doesn't that make us want to do that? I'll give it a go. Because if I fail, hey, so what? If I don't do anything, I'm definitely going to fail. I'm definitely not going to get anywhere. And so often, I think sometimes we stop ourselves saying things to people who probably need to hear from you. You know, you may have a message. Might be not the right message. You may have got it wrong. But hey, don't hold back. Because you may have got it right, and that's what they need to hear this morning. Don't be afraid to share what God's given you after you've been listening to him. Keep that common purpose, knowing we're responding to the love of God. Jesus wiped away, atoned for, did away with all, every one of our sins, our public sins, our private sins, our mistakes, our failings, all done away with. That's how much he loves us. That's how we ought to love one another. Let's just pray and finish with worship. There's coffee afterwards. There's a prayer corner if you want to go to it as well. Father, help us to take risks for you and to steel ourselves for opposition. Help us not to be casual Christians. Help us not to be lukewarm. Help us to respond to your love each day and listen to what you have to say to us. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.